Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. Glad to be with you now that I'm an old man.
That's right. It was your birthday yesterday. How did we forget?
I thought everybody knew it.
You keep reminding us.
Well, I gave the whole country the day off.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Do you feel a day older?
No, I feel a year older, finally. I mean, it comes in day to time, of course, but to go by so fast, it's almost a blur. So what are you going to do?
Did you have a nice birthday?
I did. I spent the day with another young lady whose birthday is the same as mine. She's 30 years old. She came down to visit for a while. She'd been in Arizona teaching.
Where was Marcia?
She was with a friend here visiting a while. And just so Natalie and I, which is kind of call my adopted daughter,
we spent
the afternoon together. When I got dinner and spent the day together. So, yeah, it was a good birthday. Just kind of relaxed and did what we wanted to do without being in a hurry. I kind of enjoyed that.
Well, that's good. That's really nice. That's really
nice. It is
nice. Sounds like
it is.
Did they sing happy birthday to you?
Yeah, they did. But I told them I quit the day job yet.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Good. All my grandkids except one called with a happy birthday. My sons did too. So I had a good day.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you're 40, right? I'm 39.
I turned 40 finally.
You're 40. Yep. All right.
I held it 30 for about 30 years.
Hey, gold today was turning all kinds of numbers out today. We had a high of 1941 and a low of 1905. And we're currently up $2.30 in the New York spot price after market at $1,931. Silver, same kind of a day, had a low of 2578 and a high of 2702. We're settling kind of in the middle, 2671. That's down 18 cents. Platinum was down $9 at $9.07, and palladium was down 22 at $2,316. The USDX today was stronger, up 0.38 at 93.45. Crude oil down, though, 2.83, 36.94 for crude oil. And the paper markets today, an early morning trade, the stocks were up a couple hundred points. NASDAQ was down, but the Dow was up, and they reversed themselves, and the NASDAQ doubled from early morning trading to the downside, and the Dow turned around also. The Dow was down 2.25%, 632 points at 27,500. The NASDAQ was down 465 points, that's a little over 4%, at 10,847. The S&P is down 95 at 3,331. And let's see.
Melly, what brought that hard hit to the markets?
It's all the tech stocks. I mean, what brought it on? What didn't bring it on? the tech stocks were way over. I mean, they were in nausea land,
Right.
It was, so... I mean, when you run up on just stimulus, and I'm wondering also if, the markets aren't reversing also. I mean, we have the election coming up. If the stock market crashes, Trump won't be elected. That'll have a big play in it. I don't know what the election, we could create any type of scenario to see what the election is going to be doing.
Absolutely.
Hear reports anywhere from 3 weeks to the end of the year to... Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. And if these predictions are happening now, my question is, why aren't they fixing it so that none of these things do happen? So these things don't happen, I should say.
Discuss it more in a little bit, but I don't think they want to fix them, LD. I really, really don't. I think they want chaos. And we'll discuss the detail in a little bit. But chaos can bring in, can help certain parties, to create what they want. Chaos is a good item to use if you want to take control and know how to manage it.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but we'll discuss it a little bit.
But on oil today, we did see the U.S. oil prices. They plummeted 10% today. Now, this is their worst day since mid-May. We had a low of $36.13 a barrel. This is the weakest level in nearly 3 months. And the Brent crude, which is the world benchmark, that fell below $40 a barrel for the first time since late June. And, you know, there's, again, rising concern about how much crude the world economy is going to be needing. You know, the summer driving season is over. I don't know if that really has that big of an impact on oil. Jet fuel demand remains extremely weak because many people, you know, aren't flying. And nobody knows for sure how long all of this is going to do. So demand is down, supply is up. But I also saw some interesting discussions on early, you know, I mean, it was like, I was up early today, it was like 4:30 on Bloomberg. They were talking about oil and what's happening between this price war between Russia and the Saudi Arabia. And also now with Germany, because I guess there's pressures on Germany not to allow Russia to complete their second pipeline. And so there's a lot of things going on over there that, you know, could have impacted the price of crude oil today. But again, well, I think
demand is way down in China also. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think what I just mentioned, the various things about low demand and all the other areas, goes to show the volatility that we're going to face in these markets.
Yes.
And this is not going away. Things just aren't going to turn around, and you know, we're going to be happy once again. If I don't think of the agenda, you know, when I say the elite and I say they, I was talking to someone this weekend and I said they. Well, who's they? Oh, Lordy B. You know, it's the elite. It's those in power. It's those, you know, you name them, and most likely they're there. It's the elite. If you follow their agenda, this is going to crash, period. But they are going to try to put as much money into the system to keep it going. But there is going to be no such thing as, you know, any type of normalization. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be years. And then I can't imagine
if ever.
Well, I'm sure it will be if ever, because then we just adjust to the new, you know, we adjust to whatever's happening at that point in time. So, I mean, it's just not going to be what it was, is what I believe.
I think
we're going to live in a whole different new world. So get used to it, ladies and gentlemen. You can live in their world, or you can protect yourself. It's the best that we can, because there's no guarantees on this planet. So,
well, you know, crude oil is really a sign, though, seriously, Melody, of a lot of slowdown. Crude oil is used for everything in the way of fuel and even production and products. So if crude oil is down, that is truly a sign that the economy worldwide, not just here, is slowing down. If China cuts back on their demand, that's one of the big concerns for them. This article said there is no recovery, you know, I hate to admit it, but it's right. It says we have been watching with disbelief and bemusement how the recovery narrative has been touted in the financial media and among some economists and analysts. Categorically, an economic recovery is a period of expansion where we eventually exceed the previous peak in employment and output. There's no such thing coming anytime soon. It's very human to avoid acknowledging disturbing possibilities such as a looming economic abyss the world economy is about to sink into. But now we absolutely need to perceive coldly the economic realities as they are. Otherwise, the effects of the approaching turmoil will be unbearable. And it's absolutely right on. It is going to be a worldwide abyss that's coming, and if we don't adjust now to prepare for that, Melody, it's going to get us blindsided. It's going to hurt worse than it would have been if we'd been ready for it, obviously. So we need to get our rose-colored glasses off and look at the world the way it really is. It is not looking well at all.
You know, and I understand. I mean, there are certain things that, you know, people can look at it as good, but I mean, what? The unemployment number is, what, 8 point something? Do you believe
that? That's what they say. That's what they say.
But there's still 20 million plus people out of work.
At least.
I don't care what they do with that number. When you have 20 million people out of work, from before there was nobody out of work. You know, in December there was nobody. We were full employment. Now we have 20 plus. So, yes, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the numbers that we're getting are not accurate. And I also had a conversation when somebody says, well, we have to believe that those numbers are accurate, or what else do we have to base the things on? I said, well, you can look at those numbers, but you have to look at other numbers too. Because the numbers they release, I don't care what year of government it is or what election year, you're not going to get real numbers.
No, you're not.
And if they don't like the numbers they give you, they just change them. They change the equation. So it equals the numbers that they want. It's that new math that they created. That fuzzy math that Bush talked about. Fuzzy math,
well,
yeah.
They want you to build your future on falsehoods, lies. They want you to believe everything's okay and go on about your life like everything's perfect. But it's not. And that doesn't mean that some people are making a living and doing okay. But the masses have dropped substantially in earnings and income. I know that as a fact for people that I know personally. So we can shrug our shoulders and look away and act like everything's fine, but it isn't. And if there is a second wave of COVID or whatever it may be, which I do believe there's going to be starting here in the next couple of weeks, and if they decide to do shut down 102, what's going to happen then? 101 hurt the world. What will happen if they do it again, Melody? And this time with another, we'll say round two, maybe this one actually being for real as far as numbers getting me more severe. Where would that leave the world's economy? Where would that leave us in the U.S.? Well, if this does happen again, and they're discussing right now on mainstream news media, there could be a number two COVID outbreak. It didn't specify COVID, but we'll say COVID. Another round. So what would that do to the economy of the world if they do it again?
Well, I mean, same thing that's happened, but only twice.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I have articles here that this is from the, let me find it real quickly here. They actually started selling COVID testing kits back in 2017. I'm trying to find the article to tell you where it is. So, obviously, there's more to it than what we have been told. If they started selling it that long ago, COVID test kits, COVID-19 test kits, 30215 exports per country in 2017, additional product information, diagnostic regions based on immunological reactions. This started back in 2017. The United States purchased test kits clear back in 2017. I hadn't heard of COVID in 2017, had you?
Isn't that why it's COVID-19?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. But I look at these things and wonder, you know, and was this totally, really, truly pre-planned? I mean, and then now the World Bank says that this will not end until March 2025. That's their date. That this COVID expansion problem we're living in March 2025. I don't know. But these are just what they're saying. I'm not saying it. I'm just sharing what they say. So,
I don't know. You know, the thing of it is, again, we never really know what's true and what's not true. Both sides, you know. It's not just the Dems. It's the other side, too.
No, you can't trust.
It's both sides. And
I want to trust you with good morning.
Yeah, so it's really hard to say, but what we do know is we know the path that we're on. We know the road where it's taking us. We just, you know, we don't know how many cuts and turns and stoplights and everything else that it's going to take for us to get there. But where there's only one place that it ends. So that's what you have to prepare for. And we don't know when the trip will be over.
And think of all the casualties we've had along the way already, Melody.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us are blessed that we're still doing okay, but there are millions who are not doing okay.
Yeah.
So we have to accept this. You know, we need to get our eyes just exclusively off ourselves and look at the people around us who really and truly are not doing so well.
I mean, there are, and you're right. I mean, I don't know if this is, but there's people around the world. I mean, we're looking at third world countries with the virus. I mean, they have all kinds of diseases and everything. I don't know if this is something new, because they always are fighting some sort of a disease.
Yes, they are.
Here in the United States and first world countries, Europe, us, United States, and then we don't know what's true.
No, when CDC did only says only 6% of people actually died of COVID, the COVID exclusively, only 6% have died of it exclusively. The rest had cancer and other advanced problems that they died while they had COVID, yes. But that was not the factor, the only factor that killed them. So 6% of the numbers out of whatever it is, 180,000, whatever it is now, we're talking about maybe 10,000 or so that have died with COVID exclusively. Out of 330 million people, that's not a big number. It isn't. So that's from CDC.
No, it isn't, but you also have to question those numbers too. And how do you report? I don't know how they normally report deaths. I mean, if you have pancreatic cancer but your kidneys shut down and you're that's how you fail, well, how do you list your death? By kidney failure or pancreatic cancer?
That's true, but they seem like they want to hype up the COVID part of it more than anything else. You know, if you got COVID, they say, well, COVID. They don't say, well, he had kidney failure and COVID. He had COVID.
Right. But, you know, but that's how that, you know, so no, I don't know. I don't think we're getting truth on either side, so. I don't trust them.
I just know people need to be ready and prepare themselves. We can't trust government or anyone else to be there to bail us out, because they're not obviously not going to be there every time. So I think maybe we ought to prepare ourselves for our own family, and maybe for family members and even some neighbors if necessary. But getting ready ourselves. We cannot depend on somebody else's numbers and somebody else's facts and statistics to build our plans around. We have to plan on our own.
And you know what? This election, you know, there's days when I drive around, I see Trump signs all over the place.
Nothing for Biden at all.
But then when I talk to people, the only thing that comes out of their mouth is anybody but Trump. So it baffles me. I have no idea. I mean, usually you can talk to people and see, you can get a pretty good idea. This one is confusing.
It's meant to
be. And then, pardon?
It's meant to be.
Yeah, it is. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. There's no
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, I'm just reading this, and we're talking about the economy, and everybody's saying it's recovering. Well, I won't believe that, too, as much as anybody else does. But it says, record numbers, over half of all young adults are now living with their parents. As the chaotic events of 2020 have unfolded, large numbers of young people have moved back in with their parents, and this has pushed the percentage of Americans in the 18 to 29 year old age bracket that live with their parents to the highest level ever recorded. Now, folks, if the economy is moving along well, why is it still growing? Without a doubt, the collapsed economy has hit young adults particularly hard. About 59 million Americans have filed for unemployment over the last 24 weeks. 59 million have filed for unemployment over the last 24 weeks. So obviously there's more than 20 million out of work. And low-wage workers have been disproportionately affected by this tsunami of job losses. Needless to say, young adults traditionally make up a large chunk of our low-wage workers, and now that really tough times have hit a lot of them, they are being forced to fall back on their mothers and their fathers for support. According to a brand new report that was just put out by the Pew Research Center, 52% of all young adults in this country are now living with their parents. Melody, that's huge. Over half of 18 and 29-year-olds are moving back in with their parents. And 59 men have applied for unemployment in the last 24 weeks. So that's, you know, 6-month period, obviously. But 59 men, and again, children 25 years old, even 18 years old anymore, shouldn't be living with parents. That's not natural. But if they had no place to go, where else can they go?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, that's what, when I was growing up, it was always, you wanted to leave home. You wanted to go out and get a job. And the jobs were there for you to have. And, you know, things are different now, and they can't. Well, and you know what? Government encourages that. I mean, why else would they, you know, have parents pay for health coverage until you're 27. I didn't have any health coverage from my parents after I turned, 18 or 21?
18. Yeah.
So, you know, it goes to show you that, you know, the young adults, they don't have jobs that cover health insurance, so they have to put them on the parents, and it's taking them, you know, to be older in order to be on their own. I mean, I told you this. I read an article where these young adults, they don't think they're an adult until they're over 30.
Yeah.
I was an
most
adult
of them,
at
most
16.
Most of them act like it, too. Most of them act
I
like
know.
It, too. Yeah. Yep.
I was an adult at 16, 18. You know, so...
Well, I went to the military at age 19. When we went to the military, they considered you an adult.
Sure.
And you had to act like one. So that's all changed. Big time changed, because even the people in their 30s and 40s aren't really adults anymore. You know that. It's sad to say, but it's just true. And it really is true. But that does put an extra burden on parents, though. Some of them may be struggling just to make it, too. Maybe they're retired. And if the young one is contributing to the household, that can be a blessing in a way. And, mm-hmm. and maybe in the long run, it can be a blessing to keep families together a little longer. I don't know. But it's not normal. When I come back from the military, I was 22 years old. I was back home with mom and dad for a little while. And I was I could have been there, stayed there for a long time. They wouldn't mind at all. I mean, I never took time back at the dinner table. But it never felt the same, Melody. It wasn't home any longer. It wasn't home like it was before I left. I'd become independent. And it wasn't natural to me to stay there with Mom and Dad. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, I do. It's called growing up.
Yeah, it's growing up. So, of course, I got married a few months later and went out on our own. I found a job and went about my business and tried to raise my own family. But going home again, if it feels natural to you, for you to just say, I'm going to stay here, there's something wrong with your maturity. It shouldn't be natural. And that doesn't mean that you don't appreciate it, that you don't respect your parents, but it doesn't feel natural for an adult, male or female, to feel at home with Mom and Dad again, expect them to do what they did whenever you were there before, you know, wash your clothes and feed you and all that. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not natural at all. Any comments on that?
No.
I mean...
Sorry.
Well, it's okay, but it is what it is. I mean, I'm just... It's the truth, you know. You can't...
It is. It is. And, you know, I don't know... You know, it's just different. We live in a different world today, and it's harder for these young kids, and but they're not expected to be out on their own either. You know, the parents do. And I guess some need it, too. I mean, I'm not judging anyone or telling them how to raise their children or, you know, when they want their children to leave. But I think also, Butch, it comes back to the disruption, the breaking up of the family unit.
It does. It does.
And when it was the breakup of the family unit, you have a lot of these, you know, when you young adults become parents are no longer parents, they're friends.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, you room with your friends. You have roommates. And that's kind of how parents have become. They're more roommates. They're friends, and then they're not parents.
And that's why children never grow up. They don't know how to be a parent. Parents are not your friends. They're your parents. Parents' responsibility doesn't go away. Even when they get older, you're still the parent. If my sons are 46, I'm down 46, 44, and 42 now. And if I want to give them advice or they ask for advice, I'm still their dad. I'll give it to them. Even if they don't want to hear it, I see something they're not doing I think's right, I will tell them. Not because they have to listen to me, but I'm still the parent. I'm trying to teach them something maybe about experience. So you're right. It is a destruction of the family unit. When the family unit is destroyed, the country's destroyed because the whole nation is built on families.
Yeah,
that's the way it is. So, but yeah, you're right on. But again, once you become an adult and you leave home and become independent, it shouldn't be natural to move back in with Mom and Dad. It may be necessary for a while, but not natural. The next article though says engineered food shortages and famine to justify reset of U.S. food system. I said engineered food shortages and famine. And famine people to justify a reset of U.S. food system. And I got to share this. I grew up in the hills of West Virginia, and one of our staple meals was pinto beans. You know what pinto beans are, brown beans, we call them.
I do.
I love beans. I love pinto beans. We had pinto beans at least once, twice a week, you know, with cornbread, whatever may have with them. That was a main course even. We didn't have things on the side sometimes. We had a big kilo of pinto beans and cornbread and maybe some green onions or whatever with them. I mean, that's what we had. I went to the store with Marsh a couple weeks ago, and the store had no beans and no Jiffy Mix to make cornbread with. So, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, this is in West Virginia. You don't have beans in stock? I mean, so that's a staple, for goodness sake. But I was just kind of shocked. I never saw it before ever that I can remember in my lifetime where they were out of, you know, like pinto beans or basically about any kind of bean. The pinto beans we look for exclusively. That's amazing to me. But anyway, in Michigan, when Governor Whitmer issued orders for mandatory COVID-19 testing for migrant workers, many of them walked off the job. In the past 5 years, venture capitalists and corporations have invested almost $10 billion to replace traditional food source systems with synthetic food produced in laboratories. That just doesn't sound appetizing to me, nor healthy. But anyway, strange explosions in food storage facilities, fires, and windstorms across the world will further affect food supplies. Without farm labor, food will not be or rot in the fields. And with stored food being destroyed, food prices will skyrocket. People will face hunger. Many will starve. The rest will beg the government and the corporations for food. This is a engineered food shortage to justify a reset of the food system. I can't remember who said this, but who was it said, whoever controls the food controls the people? I can't remember who said that, but whoever brings in the food actually controls the people more than anybody else, because people want to eat. But to see this coming about, and you know, the migrant workers quitting, they can't harvest the crops, and then what? And now they're doing away with traditional food sources and making synthetic food. I think it's, is it Hardee's now that has this sugar?
Anything that's modified is not going to be good or healthy for you. All these GMOs and all these modifies, they're not good for you. But hey, we're the useless eaters. So, you know, they save all that nice farm fresh food for the elite. And but it really is true, because so many of them have their own farms and so forth. If, you know, and I would, if I was a billionaire, I'd have my own farm. Or, you know, I wouldn't eat any other food, and except my only food that I would grow. I'm not even a billionaire, but if you were a, you know, 20 million plus or something like that, why wouldn't you have your own farm for your food, your own chef? So they eat well.
Yes, it makes sense. Makes sense. It does.
You know, so they modify our food. They modify our food to keep us from being healthy, so they can make more money off of us while we continue to work and provide them with a good living.
That's very true. Very true. And you think about this a minute, folks. Think about it. You try to buy non-GMO corn. It's impossible almost to find corn that has been monkeyed with. You really don't have what you have, but now they're wanting to replace traditional food with synthetic foods. It may taste the same, may even taste better in some areas, but it's not food. Your body can't digest plastics. This is where we are. So this is engineered food shortages coming up, and I do believe that we're seeing a lot of these problems caused by man for a purpose. And this is not just here, it's worldwide. But I never thought about this aspect of the economy in a country either, but I guess it should have. The U.S. is hemorrhaging $3 billion per week from tourism crash. That makes sense. You know, they cut off, you know, people coming in for a while because of COVID. And of course, people aren't traveling because of COVID, period. The air industry is way down, but the U.S. economy is losing a whopping $3 billion per week in lost tourism dollars, with estimates of total losses for 2020 at around $155 billion, according to a new report via the World Travel and Tourism Council. The lack of international visitors to the U.S. due to the pandemic could wipe out more than $155 billion from the U.S. economy alone, a loss of $425 million a day, from which it may take years to recover. It could also threaten New York's position as one of the world's premier hubs for business and leisure travel. So, that is true. I mean, it's in my mind about tourists and different things, but I never thought about costing $3 billion a week in the U.S. alone just for tourists not being here. But that affects a lot of industry. And the hospitality companies are definitely going to be hurting if this continues. And we know airlines are hurting. And whatever happened to American Airlines? Did they ever get the bailout where they wanted to lay off 19,000 workers? Or is that still playing?
It's still playing.
So 19,000 workers are still pending to lose their jobs.
So yeah, I don't remember if there was any cutoff date or anything like that. But, I mean, there's been no stimulus passed. So, I mean, they're just waiting. I'll guarantee if the stock market drops, or they, you know what, they might even allowing the stock market drop so they can just pass the stimulus, because that's what it's waiting for. They're waiting for a reason. And the only reason I know of is the stock market, because they don't really care about the people.
Obviously not. No, they don't. They really don't. Just enough to play us to go their direction.
So,
with all this happening in every area and all the different directions this whole world's going, I don't listen to a whole lot of the debates or the campaign agenda. I don't listen to much of it. I can't always stomach it. But let me give you an idea as to why I have a hard time stomaching it. This is what they discuss. Joe Biden, watch how I run up ramps while Trump stumbles down. The Washington Times reported this. Biden said, watch how I run up the ramps while Trump stumbles down. Democratic presidential nominee Joseph R. Biden this week disputed Trump's campaign to contention. The 70-year-old Biden had lost a step or two by touting his ability to run up ramps. look at how Trump steps, and look at how I step. Watch how I run up ramps, and he stumbles down ramps, okay? Mr. Biden told ABC 27 News in Pennsylvania. So, this is a campaign issue. I walk better than the president. Really? And Trump's response is, Biden's a stupid person. Melody, this is a campaign?
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Kindergartners can do better than this.
I know.
I can run up the ramp. Trump stumbles down the ramp and walks. Biden's stupid. You know, we're laughing, but really isn't funny. It's really sad.
But you know what, Butch? Maybe other people think it's funny, and that's what attracts them to either candidate, perhaps. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
I mean, no substance whatsoever. Well, again, if you like cotton candy, I guess you'll like this. No substance. You know, it's just all, you're starved to death eating it, but it tastes good. So maybe it's what you like. Is they like to be entertained while the world, while the country falls apart. I mean, these two guys are fiddling, so to speak, while the nation burns. I run up the ramps, Trump stumbled down, and of course, Biden's a stupid person, Trump says. So these are really, really deep, deep contentions that we have to be facing in this country, folks. It's how well Biden runs and how stupid Biden is. So we need to really get into that. We don't need to worry about the economy or trying to get this whole mess straightened up in the world and the world systems and what's going on. We need to worry about who can run up the ramps. That's today's politicians.
And you know what? It's, I mean, I can't imagine that Trump wants to lose, because if he, but I'll tell you what, I don't understand. And yet, I think people support him based on the 2016 election. I don't think, I don't know, but personally, maybe. I mean, how can you get behind a candidate? And yes, I know the few things that he did in the past 4 years. I mean, that's all being pushed under the rug. If I was running a campaign, I'd be bringing them out left and right. But you don't hear any of that. You hear the same rhetoric that the 2016 campaign, and I think that was a positive message because it was different.
It was different. It was refreshing.
But it isn't today. It's not refreshing really today to hear him come out and just call Biden stupid. Well, Biden might be stupid. But I don't want to hear my president calling. You know what, Butch? I'm tired of people calling other people names.
Yes.
On both sides.
I understand that. Well, I can outrun Trump, and Trump says I'm stupid. So there you go.
Anyway, we'll
be right
back.
That's deep stuff.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. It's kind of always an odd day when the week begins with Tuesday. And I think we see it in the news today. And we certainly had a lot of pressure on the stock market. So we've had, the stock market was moving up there quite a bit, Butch, but certainly had a pretty big reversal. But and I think this is what, when you have the volatility that I think we're going to face in our elections, this is what you're going to see. And so there isn't, the markets are going to crash. When? I don't know. Soon.
Well, they did already once this year, pretty heavily.
But it was nothing.
Well, that was nothing. Well, it was something. Not like it's going to be, obviously, but it was something. You know,
yes.
Quite a downturn there for a little bit. Of course, I realize it regained it, but it's coming to a point soon where it won't regain like it.
Right, but you know what? I don't even think it was the amount that it dropped. I mean, certainly that had a lot to do with it, but I think it was the speed at which it dropped. I mean, it was like they removed there was no floor at all. There wasn't, down 1,500 points and, up 200, down 1,500, up 200. It wasn't that. It was the floor came open, and that was what was scary. When you have 3,000-point drops and then another 1,500 points the next day and another 1,000, that's what was interesting. That's what was interesting.
We were talking about Trump and Biden, of course, running, and I've seen maybe, I think one, perhaps, maybe two, I don't remember, but Biden signs on cars. I haven't seen any Biden yard signs yet. I've seen Trump, nope. And other ones, no Biden. So I don't know whether, of course, I don't trust polls. I mean, last time, Trump ran with Hillary had him hands down. I mean, she was going to win. That was just all that was doing. All the polls said so. Suppose folks are something just taken through in the trash. I mean, nothing. But this is kind of something. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But polls are always interesting when you look at the number of people that they poll. 500.
Yeah, there you go. 500
700.
People, yeah. And you wonder where they're getting it from.
Yes.
You know? But Trump weighs in the $100 million personal campaign contribution as GOP donors bolt Biden fundraising surges. So, if there's one skill the mainstream media has mastered in the age of Trump, it's pushing a coordinated narrative. To mark the passing of the Labor Day holiday and the arrival of presidential campaign mania, the mainstream press is trying to paint a picture of a Trump re-election campaign in disarray. Late last week and over the last weekend, the dominant story was a set of polls that were overwhelmingly spun as a positive for Biden, though Trump saw gains in Texas and several swing states. But as we learned in 2016, the polls aren't always accurate, Mel. Do you know that? So, but it looks like Trump is putting $100 million of his own money into the campaign. And let's face it, $100 million in the campaign day is hardly anything. Hardly anything. So, I don't know. I mean, are there donors jumping from the GOP? Not supporting them. That very well could be. But, again, as this article pretty very well said, the polls were overwhelmingly spun as a positive for Biden, and I do believe that. I don't care who it is. There's some out there that will spin it towards Trump. We know that. So that's why you can't trust polls. I don't know of any that I would trust as being unbiased. Can you?
You know, no, I mean, but I do know at the last election, I mean, if Comey, and I still say this, and if I'm wrong, please someone tell me. If Comey hadn't come out with that letter to Congress saying that they're reopening the investigation, I don't know if Hillary would have lost. So, and I agree with you, polls. Usually what I try to do, I ignore all polls, but I pick one, and I follow that one. You know, just to see not so much what the numbers are, but the ups and downs. Because they're polling the same way, they're polling this, you know, you're getting the same. So that's what I do if I'm looking to pay any attention to any polls. Because, you know, you get them from all these various, and you're right, you don't know what they're doing, what they're saying. So I usually pick one, usually one that's not a mainstream one and not a, you know, even, you know, Rasmussen. I mean, they're conservative. So I don't follow that when you try to find one that's kind of middle of the road, and then you just follow that regardless, and you follow the ups and downs. But, you know, Forbes came out today. They released the 39th annual Forbes 400 list. Now, this is the definitive ranking of the wealthiest Americans. And what's interesting about this, it includes a comprehensive report, just not what these billionaires are worth, but I think what's important is how they are using their money to drive change and make an impact. And I think that is a lot of what's going on with this nation today. You have these billionaires that are changing and disrupting, and they are part, not the only thing, but they are part of the problem. Now, there's some good billionaires and so forth, but on the other hand, you have the super rich that are, you know, that make a difference in our country. And I think that's part of the problem. That's just my thought, but it is. And I did see and hear President Trump did lose. There was some new ones. There were 25 drop-offs who made the 2019 list. There were 18 newcomers to the list. And Donald Trump's ranking dropped to number 352 from 275 in 2019. His net worth dropped to $2.5 billion from last year's $3.1 billion. And they're blaming that mostly on the value of office buildings, hotels, and the resorts that have taken a hit among the pandemic. So there you have it. So it's kind of an interesting article if you have a chance to read it. It doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting. And it's interesting to... And it's amazing, though. Here's one guy on there, Patrick Soon-Shiong. He's a billionaire doctor. And he came out with some radical cancer treatments that made him one of the wealthiest physicians on Earth. He even came out and said that he cured diabetes by, I think, transplanting the pancreas or something like that. You know, and it's just, I mean, you can do anything. I mean, it's really amazing. But none of those things that he created that made him the wealthiest physician on Earth, I think, worked out. But anyway, he's a master of marketing, and that's what all these billionaires and millionaires are. They're masters at marketing.
You know, I want to add one more statement about polls. It's almost impossible for anyone to be not a little bit biased. It's almost impossible. You know that. And hardly anyone's totally neutral. That's very rare. We all have our own thoughts and philosophies or whatever. So to say a poll is non-biased would have to be done by more than one person that were different with different inputs. But that's just my opinion. But for me, I'm sure I'm biased in some areas. Pro-life or whatever, or pro-gun. So it depends on, I guess, who you're talking to. But Zuckerberg says Americans need to accept election results could take weeks to be confirmed. Now, this is a little bit, folks, that should concern us. One of the things that we in the media need to start doing is preparing the American people that there's nothing illegitimate about this election taking additional days or weeks to make sure all the votes are counted, says Zuckerberg. He added that the company would begin a messaging campaign to convince Americans that such a scenario is normal. No, it's not normal. It's never happened before that I know in my lifetime. Is it you, Melody?
Nope.
Zuckerberg then reiterated that the company would not allow candidates to announce victory prematurely without being challenged, something that, given Facebook's brazen political bias, is unlikely to be deployed against Republicans. Now, see, that's, again, that Dylan wrote this, obviously, is biased towards Republicans, and I'm not knocking him. I understand that's the way it is. But It's not normal, folks. I mean, Zuckerberg says it's normal to wait for weeks. It's never happened in my lifetime. And maybe it did in somebody else's lifetime that older than I am. But I can't think of one prejudiced lecture about life. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know what, Butch? It is normal in his lifetime because he's only, what, 30 years old? So he had the Bush and Gore. That's normal, you know. So for him, it's his little years of normality, yeah.
But people read that. I wonder if they didn't catch that statement. Well, yeah, it's normal. I wonder if they didn't question it. You know, that's why I don't understand it. People look at that and say, wait a minute now. It hasn't happened in my lifetime. Is that really normal? But anyway,
I mean, who even listens to a little Zuckerberg? I mean, who even listens to him? I bet he guess he has a lot of power amongst these young kids, the youth. But as an adult, anybody over 40, who would listen to somebody like Zuckerberg? You know?
I agree. Want to ask about this Senate bill. You may have heard of it. Senate Bill 3571, Banking for All Act. Have you heard of that?
I have.
Oh, this is curious. To require member banks to maintain pass-through digital dollar wallets for certain persons and for other purposes. It goes on playing digital dollar and digital dollar wallets and what a member bank is. Are they really planning on digital currencies maybe for some certain people? I don't know. But I know China said just moving away from the dollar ahead of a digital yuan. I don't know how this is going to work. But digital is still fiat. Maybe even worse. How's that going to fix anything?
I think what anybody should think about is when people talk about digital currencies and so forth. You're right, Butch. Trust me, it's not worked out yet. But the whole point is, if people believe that we're headed in that general direction, that only means one thing. Your purchasing power is going to zero.
That's true.
Because they're going to have to replace, the dollar is going to have to go to zero. It's going to have to be revalued in order to get into a digital currency. It's that simple.
That's right.
So, you know, we don't know. Bills are written and they can sit there for 50 years. But we all know we have a currency problem. We all know we all have a money problem.
We don't have any money.
We don't have any money. It's a money problem.
You know,
it's too great to be paid.
Yep, we have fiat currency. I'm running out of time so quickly, we have no money. We have paper fiat currency. We have no money. Real money is no longer in circulation. Isn't that true?
That's true. So that's the point when people talk about, and I think, you know, we focus so much on this digital currency. I mean, if they bring it in, they bring it in. What are we going to do about it?
That's
we
true.
Can't even vote decent politicians into office. So, yeah, I mean, it could happen. That's our future. I mean, technology is taking over. So where do you expect us to go? So to me, it's no big surprise, Butch. It's just, what's it going to happen to my money today, my purchasing power today?
Free.
I know I need to get out of that and get something that's really real, because that's the only thing that's going to matter in the future.
That's right. Digits or paper are both worthless when it comes right down to it.
Yep.
And in closing, I'll cover a quick three more things here. We know California's on fire. You know that. They had a record 2 million acres burned. They got 172,000 people without power. They have to turn the power off certain places because of too much power usage. And in Colorado, my son lives in Colorado Springs. It's 90-some degrees there yesterday. Snow today, a drop of 70 degrees in 24 hours. The biggest single day drop in 150 years. So that's huge. Does that affect crops and stuff? Of course it does. And shots fired on the India-China border for the first time in decades. As tensions flare, so the whole world, Melody, in this country is a lot of things are happening. Have you ever noticed that the weather patterns are getting increasing in intensity? You just get through one hurricane, then there's a fire, then there's a flood, then there's a tornado. There's a heat wave. There's nothing. Nothing's ever stable anymore. Nothing's really normal. It goes from one extreme to the other. Have you noticed that?
I have.
No one gets a break.
Didn't you hear, Butch? It's global warming.
Yeah, exactly. It's constantly something hammering this country. You know, always. And it's weather a lot, of course. But to drop 70 degrees in 24 hours is huge. Oh,
that's amazing. That really is amazing.
You know, so I just thought of this morning. I mean, what is it with this weather phenomenon? You know, 121 degrees in I think, San Francisco, a record high. And snow in Colorado in September from 97-some degrees to snow, I mean, overnight. This is not normal, people. And you say, well, what's going on? I think, personally, they're messing with HARP, Alaska. I think they're messing with weather intentionally. I truly do. But it makes no difference. Who's doing it? It's for real. People are suffering because of it. So those are just things I want to comment on. Of course, the Indian-China border war started, maybe. That isn't good. Those are two nuclear powers, and they're two huge nations full of people. So, maybe you want to wrap up those comments on that, Melanie, but that's just the way it is.
No, there's not much to say about it. I mean, it's just another part of the world, and it just shows how, you know, a lot of it could just be flexing muscles and all this kind of stuff, but, I mean, there's definitely tensions everywhere.
And people, it's time to prepare. It's time to prepare. Yeah, it's time to prepare. Go ahead, Millie. I'll shut up now.
No, you don't have to. 800, but you, well, you do because we're out of time. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. That's too bad.